Gerade weil sich nicht so bachig ist, was sagen wir, wenn wir heute mit sich auf Sachen darf, sagen wir, Gimmel. Sagt nur mal, a Breiser brings a Shita that argues in our Mishnah and says that Achayr Moimrim, if during the Shita he intends for those with a bris and then those without a bris, it's kosher. However, if he first intended for those without a bris and then for those with a bris, it's puzzle. Fedak, Gimmel, in both cases, at least some of the people had a bris, so why should Allah be different than the two cases? Gimmel says, maybe we can say that the Achayrim, which is Reb Meir, hold that the very end of the Shechita is the act that is the only part that's considered to be significant, and they hold, like Rav explained, that it's only the first stated intent that takes effect. Therefore, when he intends for people with a bris and people without a bris, only the intent for people with a bris takes effect, and it's a kosher Pesach. However, when he intends for people without a bris and people with a bris, it will be possible. Rabbi said it could be that the Achayrim, which is Reb Meir, say that the entire act of the Shechita is considered significant. The reason why they differentiate as to the order of who the Pesach was intended for is because we're discussing the case where we intended for both sets of people, but only had time to verbalize the first group during the Shechita. Meir says we only follow what was verbalized, even if there was more that was intended. Rabbanan said we follow what was intended as well, and since in each case it was an intent for people with a bris, the Pesach is valid. For the Gemara, we find that Meir says we don't just follow what was verbally said, rather we take into account other intentions as well. We find this in a Mishnah, which says that if one intended to separate Truma mistakenly said as being separated as mice or vice versa, or if one promises not to enter into a particular house for benefit of a particular person and mistakenly names the wrong house or the wrong person, the Mishnah, which is Meir over there, says that the statement does not take effect. And the Gemara says that Abaya says, the case of the Braisa is where he intended for people with a bris when cutting the first simen, meaning of the two pipes that need to be cut during the Shechita, and intended to also include the people without a bris when cutting the second pipe. So in that case, both pipes were cut with intention for those with a bris, and therefore the Pesach is kosher. The second case of the Braisa is when the reverse took place. In that case, since the first pipe was cut only with intent for people without a bris, the Pesach is possible. There are button hold that an intent can't take effect unless it is had during the cutting of both pipes, therefore it will not be possible. Zok the Mishnah, someone who shechts the Pesach al hachametz, over chametz, has violated a law. Rabbi Yehuda says the same applies to the shechting of the Tamish ben Arbayim on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Shimon says if someone shechts a Pesach for its own sake over chametz on Erev Pesach, he'd be chayy, but if he shechted it not for its own sake, he'd be potter. With regard to the shechting of all other kabbalas on Erev Pesach, whether they're shechted for their own sake or not, he would be potter. With regard to shechting a Pesach on the Yom Tov of Pesach itself, if it's done for its own sake, he's potter. If it's done not for his own sake, he's chayy. All other kabbalas have shechted over chametz on Pesach, whether they were done for their own sake or not, he'd be chayiv, except for a chatzos, which is shechted not for its own sake, in which case he'd be potter. Zok the Gemara, Shlokesh says, you would not be chayiv unless there's chametz that's owned either by the one who's shechting the shaychet, or by the one who's doing the zrika, or by one of the people who are in the ownership group of the Pesach. And the chametz has to be present in the Azor. Rabbi Yechiden says the chametz does not have to be present in the Azor. What's machloikis? We can't say that they argue whether the use of the word al in the Pasuk teaches the chametz has to be mamish nearby, because they already argue elsewhere regarding whether the word al means nearby. We find that Rish Lakish says that if the breads of a carbon toida are outside the Azor wall during the shechita of the animal of the toida, the breads do not become kaddish, because the Pasuk says that the breads have to be al the carbon, and therefore outside the wall, they're not al, they're not next to Rabbi Yechiden. It says it becomes kaddish unless the breads are outside the wall of Yerushalayim during the shechita. So we see they argue about this already, so that can't be the machlekes over here. The Mara says machlekes is whether a questionable warning, a hasra asofik, because over here the witnesses who are warning do not see the chametz at the time of the shechita unless it's present in the azara. So could such a hasra, can that make a person chayav? Rish Lakish says it cannot, and Rabbi Yechiden says that it can. For the Gemara, they already argue about this in another place as well. We find that they argue regarding a case where someone promised to eat a loaf of bread and didn't eat the loaf of bread. Rabbi Yechiden says he's not chayav because there's no action that was done. So although the warning, he says that hasra asofik would have been effective, but because when he's warned that he'll be chayiv if he doesn't eat it that day, since there's time left in the day, it's he maybe he won't be chayiv, and therefore it's a hasra suffix. But Rabbi Yechiden says the reason why he's not chayiv is not a hasra problem, rather it's because it's a lav shein by meiser. Shlokesh says you'd be chayiv even though there's no meiser. However, the reason you're potter is because it's a hasra suffix. We see the argument this already. The Gemara says the argument is based on how to interpret the word al, and we would not be able to learn the case of chametz from the word of from the case of toida. Chametz is also wherever it is, and therefore maybe it's only in that case Rabbi Yechiden doesn't require it to be nearby. But regarding the toida, maybe he would require it to be nearby. So that's why we have to say al by toida also. Now, if we would just give the case of toida, we would think that it's only there that Rish Lakish says has to be close by. But chametz, which is also wherever you are, wherever it is, maybe it doesn't need to be close by to make him chayv shechting al hachametz, and therefore it has to be said by chametz as well. If the shaykhid doesn't have chametz, but one of the members of the ownership group does, what's the halacha? He answered, the pasuk says, it may not be shechted al chametz, which could be anyone's chametz, not just the shaykhid. So yes, if so, he should be chayiv if anyone in the world has chametz. He answered, the pasuk compares the lav of shechting with chametz to the lav of leaving over meat until the morning. Whoever is chayev for that, which means the owners and the kahanim doing the carbon, would also be chayev if they have chametz during the shechita, but not anyone else in the world. Rav Papa said, based on this, the kohen who offers the fats or ala chametz, the chaylev, if he's makdeh the chaylev ala chametz, will also be chayev, because since he would be chayev for leaving it over until the morning. One brisa says like Rav Papa, another brisa argues and says that we don't compare offerings to shechita, or offering of the fats to shechita. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda ima afa tamid v'chulu. Rabbi Yehuda says, that the pasuk says zivchi, my carbon, maybe it may not be shechted ala chametz over chametz. The tamid is the carbon that's referred to by Hashem as zivchi, my carbon, and therefore this iser, this lav, it comes to is definitely applied to the tamid shel ben arba'im as well.